This next story is all about people and cultures crossing borders, a perfect fit for a show called The World. It's about the ties that bind a southern U.S. city, New Orleans, and the nation of Haiti. Lane Kaplan-Levinson of WWNO has been exploring this. Her hour-long radio documentary on Haiti and New Orleans airs on the station today. It starts with a man named Vladimir Laborde. He's a Haitian businessman who lives in Port-au-Prince, but spent part of his childhood in New Orleans. And it really sets the tone for the rest of the documentary.
The connection in New Orleans is all around you, right? It's in the music, it's in the food, it's in the culture with the carnival, when people get married, when people are put to rest, when they die. There's no denying it. I mean, you know, we're kin. You could try to deny it, but, you know, history would prove you otherwise.
He says New Orleans and Haiti are kin. Lane, where do you see that kinship between Haiti and New Orleans? Is it in the food, the culture, the architecture?
Yeah, it's really in all of those things. If you look at so many parts of culture in New Orleans, all the things you just mentioned, food, you know, people that know anything about New Orleans food know that there's red beans and rice, that there's jambalaya. A lot of these types of dishes actually do come from Haiti. Similarly, with the architecture, you know, New Orleans is famous for shotgun houses and Creole cottages that you see in the French Quarter. And all of that is also the same type of architecture that you'll find if you go travel to Haiti.
Is the relationship between New Orleans and Haiti discussed a lot in New Orleans?
It is amongst a certain crowd, I would say. You know, there's so many people in New Orleans, native New Orleanians, that are descendants of Haiti. And so they know that that's, you know, where they come from. And so there are lots of people that are digging back into their roots and talking about this connection. And then on the cultural end, musicians that play all different types of New Orleans music, brass music, jazz music, they know that a lot of those rhythms come and originate from Haiti. So they're talking about it in the music and in the arts. So sometimes it's a personal thing and sometimes it's about, you know, someone's livelihood.
Let's listen to a section of the documentary where you talk about how the Haitian community got to New Orleans in the first place. You say it started with people fleeing the Haitian Revolution at the turn of the 19th century.
The Haitian Revolution is the only successful rebellion by enslaved people in the Americas. And when it ended and Haiti became independent, thousands of white, free black, and enslaved people fled or were forced from the island. Most went to New Orleans and Cuba. Then, a few years later, those same Haitian refugees that went to Cuba were expelled from Cuba, so they also came to New Orleans. This was 1809, when 10,000 Haitians arrived and doubled the population of the city. Doubled. This is partly why so many New Orleans families today are people of Haitian descent, and why a Creole culture, born from African and European ancestry, define both places and bind them together.
I want to talk about a point you bring up later in the documentary. You say all of these Haitian refugees arrived in New Orleans at an opportune time for reshaping the city. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so in the early 1800s, at the turn of the 19th century, New Orleans had been a city for about 100 years at that point. But right at that time, the city suffered two massive fires. And so most of the buildings, I believe 80% of the buildings, burned in the late 1700s. And so in a lot of ways, it felt like a new city because the city was rebuilding itself. At the same time, while the city was physically rebuilding itself, the Louisiana Purchase happened. And so this territory, New Orleans, part of Louisiana, went from being a French territory to becoming a part of the United States. And so all of that type of Americanization was happening. And so it became this really opportune time to influence how the city panned out.
I know you traveled to Haiti to figure out if there's a reciprocal influence of New Orleans on Haiti. What did you find?
It's really interesting. If I talked to a random person that I approached on the street and asked them if they knew about New Orleans or had ever heard of New Orleans, most people said no. Most people thought that I was saying New York, actually. And I would say, no, New Orleans. Have you heard of New Orleans? And they would say, oh, no, you know, sorry, I have not heard of that. If I talked to professors or architects or geographers or historians, they definitely knew about New Orleans and about the influence that Haiti had on New Orleans. And I would say that for the most part, they don't think that New Orleans had, you know, much of an influence in Haiti, but they are definitely interested in a revived connection today.
Remind us where the Haitian diaspora is today.
So even though so many Haitian people fled after the revolution and went to New Orleans in the early 1800s, today, if you look at a list of the top 10 cities in the United States with the highest Haitian population, New Orleans is not even on that top 10 list. The first is Miami by a lot. It's really has the highest Haitian population in the United States, which started happening in the mid to late 20th century. And then you have New York and Boston as a third. So those are the three big cities, followed by some cities in California like Los Angeles. And New Orleans hasn't seen a high Haitian population for most of the 20th century.
Lane, when you were in Haiti and you realized that most Haitians didn't really know about New Orleans, how did you feel?
I would say I didn't feel completely surprised. You know, part of my decision to travel to Haiti to ask that very question was in some ways to put in check the claim that New Orleans makes towards this connection and towards this relationship, because so much of what I heard in New Orleans doing a history podcast about New Orleans was all about Haiti and about the Haitian influence. And so that's what really made me wonder, is this a reciprocal mutual feeling? If I traveled to Haiti and I said, hey, is New Orleans your sister city? Are we a sister territory? Do you talk about us? I really wasn't sure what they were going to say. And so when they said no, you know, it made me want to really examine why New Orleans does draw these connections and find out more about why people in Haiti do not.
You bring up an interesting point in your documentary. You say that a lot of people in New Orleans feel an emotional connection to their Haitian roots, or they feel nostalgia for a fantasy of Haiti that they might have in their minds, but they've never actually visited Haiti and they don't know really much about it today. Does that strike you as problematic, or does it strike Haitians as problematic?
I think for the most part, when I spoke to Haitians about that, and many of them brought it up to me, it is seen as problematic. I think New Orleans, rightfully so in a lot of ways, you know, really sees itself almost more as part of the Caribbean than part of the United States. And, you know, it's a tropical place, and we do have all of these similarities, even when it comes to climate and natural disaster, but also in, you know, all different types of beautiful elements when it comes to music and food and architecture and visual art. And so we like to associate ourselves with the positive and even almost exotic elements of this Caribbean nature. But I think what I heard from folks in Haiti is that's great, but, you know, what does that do for us type of thing? You know, if you want to really talk about how we're related in some sense, let's create some formal exchange.
Lane Kaplan-Levinson's documentary, Haiti in New Orleans, Is the Feeling Mutual? It airs today on WWNO in New Orleans. Lane, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.